Pick up last week where we left off on our teaching, talking about the sovereignty of God. And this is something that I thank God for, men and women called into the ministry. Our specific time in our life, you know, we've got some generals that's passed on, Kenneth E. Hagin, Dr. Oral Roberts. There's many out there that have passed on. And I love something Andrew said. It really blessed me. And this is, you know, get on the internet, watch what you hear, watch what you look up. Don't believe everything. Don't even believe everything you hear on the news. You saying you can't trust Fox News, CNN? You can trust Jesus. Because not everybody's hearing from God. Amen? Jesus said there's a lot of false prophets going forth. How will you know if they're a false prophet? What they said ain't going to happen. But we can trust God's word. But I'm thankful for Andrew. He has a little session that'll do Ask Andrew, and he'll give some answers. And I got a few I want to ask him. I need to call in. You know, we all got some questions we want to ask ministers of each other. Pastor, you don't know it all? No. I don't know it all. Amen. But I know the one that does know it all. And he says all you got to do is ask. If you don't know, ask. So Andrew was asked who was going to carry on his ministry when he passes on. You know, he's got two sons. I love the answer that he said. He said, well, you know, he says, I'm not thinking about dying right now. You know, he says, I'm young, and he just kind of brought it into balance. He says, I'm not looking to go anywhere right now. But, you know, time is coming. It's appointed for man once to die. He said, there's nobody set to take my role. But he said, what's going to happen and what's not going to happen? He says, when I leave, he said, my job on earth is done. He said, my time is done. He said, what you won't see, he said, you won't see me on the radio. Or you won't see me on TV anymore. I'm not sure if he wouldn't be on the radio, but because he said, my time is done. It's time for the next one to step up, for the next one to take my place. Or he said, but now the teachings will be available. Andrew Womack Ministries, he's no longer going to be there. He said, but Caris Bible College, they're carrying on the work of the ministry. So his ministry will still be there. You can get any of his teaching, but you won't be able to see him on TV anymore. He said, I'm done. He says, when it's, I'm done, I'm done. I thought that was real honorable. That, you know, he says, he's ready to go when it's his time come, and, you know, he's done everything God's called him to do at this appointed time. So we got to pass the baton and pick it up. And this is why God's called me to teach faith. Because Kenneth E. Hagin, I've told you my testimony, that's what God specifically appointed him to do. Now, he was a pastor. Just because he's called you to teach faith doesn't mean he's going to call you to do something else. Amen. There's a lot of empty seats. A lot of people are called, but the Bible says few are chosen. Few choose the calling. Doesn't mean the calling's still not there. You got to answer the phone. You got to get out of your house and go do it. Amen. And a lot of empty seats because a lot of people ain't doing it. So that was something I found out. Never met the man. Never got to meet him before he went on to be with Jesus. But I was reading his books, and he heard from God in his testimonies. And I found out one day, just reading the back of his book, what God had called him to do. Healed him of an incurable blood disease and a deformed heart. Given up to die on a deathbed at 16 years old. And he heard faith. Not from a preacher, because there wasn't no preachers back in preaching faith for healing. And guess what? People were dying young. But God's will is to heal. And he found it by reading Mark 11, 22, 23, 24. Kenneth Hagin did. And heard the Holy Ghost speak to him. But he also heard the devil. Because, see, that's the voice. Religion is a voice, too. Religion is unbelief. Are we going to get the sovereignty of God? I'm hoping we are. But it's all about faith. Faith in Jesus. Faith in his word. Not in religion, what you think God said. That's what got Adam and Eve into all that mess. But Kenneth got a hold of the word and refused to let go of it. Took God at his word. And a boy that was skin and bones believed it, received it, and now took his old legs and threw it off the bed and stood up. Didn't feel healed, but he had to act healed. He had to act on what he believed. He wasn't an act. He was acting on. He was making his body do what the word said it would do. Raise you up off a bed of affliction. That's in the Old Testament.
Yeah.
He said, because I couldn't find no preachers of faith back here. He said the preachers would come in and say, just hang on a little bit, just a little bit longer, Kenneth, and it's all going to be over and you're going to be in glory. That's the only hope that they gave him. So that's where he was kind of setting his faith. Faith comes by hearing.
Yeah.
And hearing by the Word of God. If you're not hearing by the Word of God, you're not going to have faith to be healed. If you're not hearing the Word preached on healing, you're not going to have faith to be healed. If you're not hearing the Word preached on giving, you're not going to have faith to give. If you think God is coming to take from you instead of give to you, then you're not going to have faith that He's a giver. Did you get all that?
Amen.
It just come on out of there.
All right.
Amen.
All right.
God's a good God.
Amen.
Always try to keep the preaching to you simple. Is God wants to treat you like you want to treat your babies.
Yes.
If you're a godly husband and wife.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
You do anything for your kids. Amen.
That's right.
And I just want, this is just I'm just going to add this in here. This is good. I had this when Tammy was leading, and I'm not even looking at Tammy. I got my eyes closed because I'm hearing her, but I'm hearing Jesus through her. I haven't seen any visions. I'm like, you know, your mind to go. I hear, Sherry, come on up here. You'll hear people give you about a vision or God speaking to you, showing you something. Come on up here, Sherry. But I haven't seen that. You know, I got my eyes closed, and I'm praising, worshiping, and my mind wants to say, God's never going to give you a vision. He's never going to give you a vision. I say, shut up, devil. I'm seeing right now. See that? If you know that's the devil. If you're not seeing that, he's a liar.
Yes, he is.
So I didn't have to tell him in my mouth. I just told him, shut up. I don't have to see to believe. Amen. But some of you guys and women have visions.
Yes.
And I wanted Sherry just to share with you what she saw a couple weeks ago.
Well, this was just last week while we were praising, worshiping. You know, getting in the presence of the Lord, and you know, the words show up on the screen, and then I just close my eyes and I could just see the words just in, you know, I'm just trying to describe what happened in my mind, and all of a sudden they just started melting, and they melted into like this big, I thought a teardrop, and I said, a teardrop? What is it? But the Spirit was showing me that it was water, like water. And then I saw the words again, and they were just dripping with water, just, you know, water flowing from the words, you know, like if they were on the screen, but it was in my mind, like a vision. And I said, well, Lord, what is this? And he said, those that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. That's what he spoke to me. And I don't know if you can remember last week's message, but I think he bounced all around that. He talked about self-service, full service. You know, the blood of Jesus cleanses us from unrighteousness. But we have to awake to the righteousness that God's given us. It just doesn't come, you know, on a natural thing. We have to spiritually awaken. And how do we do that? Because we thirst and hunger after righteousness will be filled. You know, if you're missing something, if you're empty in some level, you know, you're not going to be physically strong if you're not spiritually strong, because that's who we are. We are a spirit being. We just live in a body and have a soul. So we have to be spiritually strong. And so that's what I was sharing with Robert after the service, because I didn't feel like the Lord wanted me to get up and say anything about it. But, you know, I just wanted to share with him that his message was strictly through the Holy Ghost, because I saw this and it ministered, and he, things that he said, not just that one thing, but over and over throughout, he was talking about being filled, and he ministering to that. So I was just trying to encourage my husband that, you know, this is what God showed me, and this is what you said, and, you know, he's ministering to you guys, and I know you guys are thirsty and hungry after righteousness, and God will fill. He'll use people to help you get where you need to go, so you're in the right place. And we know that there's a lot more that should be here.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. See, we had to, this wireless mic has a purpose.
Yeah.
is so that people that are not here get a CD, they can hear.
Amen.
Here. No, you got to be right here so you can hear it right here. You got to have it right here, and then we can get a recording. And then if I got something to work with, see, Reed gets a little low sometimes. He'd be low. But if I get something to work with now, I can amplify it on the with the computer. Jesus said, all I need is faith. All I need doesn't have to be great faith. He gave each one of us the measure of faith. God just needs that to work with you. You don't have to be in. You don't have to be a graduate of LCU for 4 years, 5 years, 10 years. Just be a disciple. Just be one that is hungering and thirsting for Jesus. Don't have to be at church Sunday and Wednesday every week. We're not looking for you. I'm not keeping an attendance. God knows where you're at. Amen. He knows exactly where you're at, and He loves you where you're at. Now take this in balance here. You could never come to church all your life, be a born-again, saved Christian. God still loves you just the same. But you're not going to be as strong as that Christian that's at church Sunday, Wednesday. Because what Sherry just say, it's not the outward man that's giving you the strength, it's the inward man. That inward man, he has a voice. I'm going to get some of those little books. Kelsey, somebody make a note for me so you can write your own ticket. I know what book he's talking about that's going to be in the word supply. Because people need to hear good, solid teaching. And what I was going to say, don't go on the internet or when you're on there and you Google Word of Faith. This is Word of Faith Worship Center. When I went on and just Googling sometimes, there's a lot of people who don't understand the Word of Faith message. Word of faith is, this whole Bible is faith. Yes. Filled with faith. Yes. This is, we believe the word of faith. We're not a cult.
That's right.
We're disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, following His teaching.
Yes.
But see, a lot of people, they don't understand. They think all this stuff that we're doing is flaky. Not all of them. I'm just saying there's people out there that have not experienced God the way I have, is judging me by their experience. We talked about you can't compare yourself one to another. They could even have a lot of this sovereignty of God mixed up in their tradition. Hey, I had some, and before I was born again, that everything is happening for a reason. It's God's plan. There's nothing I can do to change it. Wrong. Wrong. Last week, this typical teaching on the sovereignty of God that we've heard, I know some of us has heard, they ain't going to say this is a teaching of the sovereignty of God, but it's going to be, well, you know, brother, you're in this situation for a purpose. God has a purpose in this evil or this sickness. Stop right there. Just stop. You just walk away right there. And just say, I love y'all. See you later. You don't even have to get confrontational unless God, the boldness of the Holy Ghost, you need to. Because that's wrong.
Yes.
God doesn't put you through something to teach you something.
Right.
We're going to get to the end of this. The typical teaching on this sovereignty, it puts Jesus in the driver's seat with us as being the passengers. That's wrong. On the surface, it looks good. All of us have encountered this disastrous results of doing our own thing. Probably got the t-shirt and we're wearing it. I messed up. We desire to be led of the Lord, and the teaching that nothing happens but what God will, that fits nice in that. That's a good feeling theology. That leaves no accountability to me. If anything's going to happen, it's going to happen. That's just God's will. See, that takes all the accountability off of me. I can be lazy. However, the scriptures paint a picture of us each being behind the wheel of our own lives. Life and death are in the power of your tongue, it tells us. We are the ones doing the driving. We're supposed to take directions from the Lord, but He doesn't do the driving for us. Amen. Man has been given authority. Has been. God hasn't taken that authority away. God hasn't. The devil deceived and stole it. God hasn't changed what He said. See, and I said it last week and the week before, sovereignty of God. I believe in a sovereign God. I believe what He said, how He said. See, that's what you need to hear. How did God say things? He cannot change what He said or the way He said it. He gave authority over to mankind. He hadn't changed that. Jeremiah 10:23 says, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. God created us to be dependent upon him. But our independence is the root of all of our problems. That's called pride.
Yes.
As if it wasn't bad enough for man to try to run his affairs independent of God and his standards, it has been made even worse by religion, preachers and teachers, men and women of all ages, teaching us that our problems are a blessing from God. Anybody heard that? And you'll continue to hear it until Jesus returns. It's a faith killer. That will kill your faith. I'm talking about Bible faith. What has God said? There's two different covenants here. We got to be able to rightly divide old and new. And then more than that, look at Jesus. He is the expressed image of God in a flesh body, demonstrating the perfect will of God the Father. See, Jesus didn't even mention himself as he was preaching. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father.
Yes.
So he pretty much, everything that he did, it wasn't of his own will. It was the Father's will for mankind. See, he did it as the Son of Man. See, God hadn't changed, but Jesus did it being tempted by the devil, but never received that sin. He did God's plan the way God intended Adam to do it. Amen? James 4:7 says it like this. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. That's not the end of it. Resist the devil. God's not going to resist the devil for you. He's already kicked him, defeated him, stripped him. That's what Jesus did. Jesus is not doing that again. He went one round. He didn't have to go 12. He had 12 disciples that had to go each round. But Jesus went one round with the devil for 3 days. Now, he was preaching and teaching in hell, Sheol. I don't think it took him 3 days to defeat the devil. He defeated the devil when God raised Jesus from the dead. That's when he defeated the devil. Because all that power that he had, man, all those men, those righteous men that were in Sheol, went to heaven. When Jesus was resurrected, he was the way back to heaven.
Yes.
That's when he defeated principalities and powers, because he got mankind saved. Saved. So that verse makes it clear, submit yourselves to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. God's not fleeing from you, the devil's one.
Yes.
See, a lot of people want to submit to the devil, submit to God thinking they're submitting to the devil, or vice versa. This verse makes it clear that some things are from God, and some things are from the devil.
Yes.
Let me finish it. We must submit to the things that are of God, and resist the things that are from the devil. The word resist means to actively fight against. Saying, if we say, whatever will be, or if it's God's will, I will. That's not actively fighting against the devil. You're confused. That's confusion. And where there's confusion, there's every evil work. The devil's just loving to be in your house. They don't know who they are. Whisper something in their ear. They believe anything. The Bible says they believe a lie.
Amen.
If a person really believed God is the one who put sickness on them because he's trying to teach something, work something good in your life, then why do we need to go to the doctor and get medicine and try to fight against God? If God's bringing this, see, that don't even think right. Don't even sound right. So if you're sick, something's hitting you in your body, it's not from God. Go to the doctor if you need to. Get some medicine. But don't say, well, I know God's just through all this, I'm going to learn something. You can learn something before all that. Amen? That one thing you can learn that ain't good. It don't feel good. Acts 10:38 says that Jesus healed all those who are oppressed of the devil. Not oppressed by God. Not being taught something by God. It was not God who oppressed them with sickness. It was the devil. It's the same today. Sickness is from the devil. It's not from God.
Right.
Poverty is from the devil.
Amen.
It's a way of thinking. Mentality that has to be broke. How do you break it? Give. Believing God is your provider. So you just don't give. You give into every good work. Every good work. Amen?
Amen.
Not every preacher, church out there is giving to a good work.
Amen.
Sickness is from the devil, not from God, and we have to resist that sickness and by faith submit ourselves to healing, to the promises of healing. 1 Peter 2:24, by his stripes who bore on his body our sins and sicknesses, and by whose stripes I am healed. I helped mow a little bit this past weekend. I went around that top up there trimming, going pretty fast, not real fast. About 5 briars caught me on my arm. Ripped. You know, it hurt. And I looked down there, and Rowan can attest to it. He's not back there now. He ran inside and got me a towel. You know, I just put on the pants, keep on riding. But, I mean, I was bleeding. I was pricked. And I thought about Jesus this morning. How that thorn, that crown of thorn was put on his head and beat into his skull. And I thought what I thought felt bad. He couldn't even get the blood, wipe the blood off his face because his hands was nailed to a cross. And I want to think that's a little bit of pain. Jesus showed me how much he bled for me and cared, how much he loved me on that cross. He, man, that was, and opened not his mouth. I opened my mouth a little bit. I was like, ouch, whoa. I had to show Rowan, look at this. Jesus didn't even say, he said, Father, forgive them. He had enough power to say that, didn't he?
Yes.
That is submitting to God.
Yes.
And that is resisting the devil.
Yes.
He could have blamed all those Romans and all those people that spit on him. And nope. He submitted to the Father.
Yes.
He said, because I'm going to go somewhere. I'm going to hell. This is what Jesus said. I'm going to whoop me some devils. And then I'm going to get a glorified body and this pain will be no more.
Yes.
And he was doing it for us.
Right.
Amen. And he did. He did. It says we got to resist sickness and by faith submit ourselves to healing, which is from God through the atonement of Jesus Christ. That's 1 Peter 2:24. That's an atonement. That's written and signed and sealed by the blood of the Lord Jesus. I know someone might be thinking, well, what about the Old Testament? If you're listening by internet, because I don't believe anybody in here is thinking about this. What about the Old Testament where God smote people with sickness? It's the Old Testament. And plagues. Think about Noah and the flood. All the people that God brought the flood and destroyed flesh. All flesh except Noah, who found favor. He had faith. There was that little bit of measure was still there saying, God, I know you're not doing all this evil. All this evil that was around Noah, he knew it. He didn't believe it was from God. And God saw that faith and he called him and he built an ark and saved mankind. The promise of God saved us. The love of God saved us. But it destroyed evil. Man was in the way. Man was held hostage. All those evil people were held hostage by sin. And no Holy Spirit there on the inside to restrain them. And God had to flood the earth. That is really a blessing. Because he took the evil out and he gave Noah a chance to save us that are sitting here today. That's like taking and cutting your arm off because it's diseased to save your whole body. Amen. See, you got to look at that through the eyes of Jesus, through the eyes of God, who sees the end of creation, this earth that he created, and sees the new heaven, a new earth. I'm glad I'm not him. Amen. Because he had to bring judgment. I'm not, Jesus said, I didn't come, the Father gave all judgment unto Jesus. And he didn't judge nobody. Even the woman caught in the act of adultery. He says, I don't condemn you either. Go and sin no more. He just didn't say go, live a sinful. No, he said go and sin no more. Resist the devil. Resist those temptations. What gave her the power to do that then? Love. Forgiveness. Forgive them, Father. That's the power right there, the power of forgiveness. It'll heal your body. It'll save your marriage. It'll save your checking account, your savings account. The power to forgive our government that's taking from us. But just forgive them. Give to Caesar, but you submit to God. Amen. That's resisting the devil. Give what they ask him, but give first to God. See, you got your money in a kingdom that's an everlasting kingdom. Amen.
Amen.
Whose Savior is fighting for you, interceding for you in heaven. See, this Old Testament theology that God smote people, the simplified answer to that question is none of these instances were blessings. It was judgment. They were curses. Plagues is a curse.
Yes.
The blotch. Hemorrhoids is a curse. Amen. It's not a blessing. It's a curse. God did use the sickness in the Old Testament as punishment. But in the New Testament, Jesus bore our curse. Galatians 3:13. If he bore it and he wore it, you don't have to wear it. Never again. Right? He gave you a robe of righteousness. And Jesus doesn't tear robes. He when he gives you something, it's a gift. Forever. Forever. Amen. If somebody owes you something, just give it to them. Amen. Just give it to them. And say, Lord, forgive them. They've done me wrong, but Lord, I want to just give. Just call the person up and say, I just want to give you that. You don't owe me that anymore. If they're having problems, you know what I mean? If it's a burden to them and you got some, if it's going to bring strife, just let it go. Just give it. Just sow it to God. I've seen that work in an individual in our family who stole from me. I just said, I forgive you. And just let it go. It came back. That thing came back to them. But the main thing was, I wanted that person to know how much I love them and God loved them.
Yes.
I know that was more profitable to me and to God than anything anybody can steal from you. Materialistic.
Yeah.
The Lord would no more put a sickness on a New Testament believer than he would make us commit a sin. Both forgiveness of sin and healing is a part of the atonement that Jesus has provided for us. Deuteronomy chapter 28 should forever settle this question for all who believe the word of God. The first 14 verses of Deuteronomy 28 list the blessings of God. And the last 53 verses list the curses of God. Healing is listed as a blessing. Okay, healing is a blessing. It's not a curse. Sickness is listed as a curse. So there, forget it. It's not coming from God. It's a blessing. Now, if you don't listen to God, they didn't know in the Old Testament there's somebody out there, your adversary is called the devil, wanting to put sickness on you. God called sickness a curse. We should not call it a blessing. We need to say what he has said and not what we think he said or what it is. Amen. That's what got Adam and Eve in trouble. It's very comforting for me to know that God only has good things in store for us. Out of his good treasure, he gives unto us. Any problems in my life, your life, that are from the devil, problems of our own making. See, this goes into the authority of the believer, of our own. The devil can't make you do anything. He doesn't have the authority. The devil didn't create you. God created you. And God gave you authority. God gave Adam, mankind, authority over this earth and over his life. God didn't come down here and tell him when to eat and tell him what to eat. He gave him everything, but he told him what not to eat. Just one thing. Don't mess with the tree of knowledge of good and evil. God said, that's my tree.
Yeah.
And the devil saw a plan. Any problems in my life is from the devil, and it's from my own making or just the results of life on the fallen planet. My heavenly Father has never done me any harm and never will. I can't say that about an earthly father I have, but I can say it about my heavenly Father. And I can say it, and I'll say it until I see Jesus part the eastern sky. That sickness is from the devil.
Amen.
Amen. Evil is from the devil. You have to believe that if you want to truly walk in the abundant life, John 9:10, Jesus died to provide the whole world. He died that you could have that abundant life. I was walking into Kelsey's room last night and asked her some questions. And I thought I had to share with her, because as soon as I walked through the kitchen, I was thinking about having that abundant life. And I looked at the clock and it said 10:10. I said, glory, hallelujah. John 10:10. Abundant life. Just a little confirmation. I needed it. I needed to hear it. See, I'm meditating. I'm thinking about, see, a lot of people just see 10:10. It's 10 o'clock. 10 minutes past 10. I saw abundant life. Can a clock speak? Can a tree speak?
Yes.
If you're meditating upon the Word of God,
yes.
What are you seeing? You seeing lack or you seeing provision? What do you see? What are you thinking on? Because you're gonna say out of your mouth what you're thinking in your heart. What you've been thinking in your heart. What you speaking out your mouth. Uh-oh. See, you can change that. I can't change it for you, but you can. Yes. If you don't like what you're growing, change what you're sowing.
Yes.
Amen?
Yeah.
I am not saying that there's no, you can't learn from hardships. I've learned from a lot of hardships. If hardships and problems made us better, I'd be looking sharp. I'd be the best, sharpest knife in the drawer. We all would if hardships made us better. But those who have the most trouble would be the best. Right?
Yeah.
But that's simply not so. Why? Because it's not one of God's spiritual laws. I don't believe it blesses our Heavenly Father for us to blame Him or play the blame game or even pass the blame like Adam, Eve did. They passed the buck, passed the blame. What would have happened if they would have just have been honest? Could have God maybe worked something else? Well, that's just a question. But He'd already said, the day you eat, you're going to die. He couldn't change that. If He'd had to change it, He'd had to lie. Now, He maybe could have worked things a little bit different, but He had to go by what Adam did. But He already settled into heaven. Jesus said, I'm going to go, Father. I'm going to wipe the slate clean. I'm going to fix it up for him.
Yeah.
It took a while. It took a few years. Few thousand years, not millions. Not millions, right? It took a few thousand years. I don't believe it blesses our Father for us to blame problems on Him that come into our lives. Sure, He will comfort us when we turn to Him in the midst of the problems, but He doesn't create the negative circumstances that hurt our lives. It's not there to make you better. When God causes an earthquake, and He does, and He has, and He might cause some more. But when He calls one, it's for His kids' benefits. Remember Paul and Silas, how they were delivered from prison? What happened? Read the Bible. What does it say? They were changed, locks and stocks. They were in chains. But what broke the chains? The earthquake. But what happened before the earthquake? They gave Him praise and worship, and they started praising Daddy.
Yeah.
That they were counted worthy to receive beatings for preaching the truth.
Right.
What's going to happen in our day? They're going to mock us, call us holy rollers and all these names. Stand up and declare, thank you.
Yeah.
I count it worthy to be called one that believes in a risen Savior, that has healing in His wings.
Yes.
And it's in my body, working in my body, making me strong. He's not out to get me cursed. He's out to get me blessed. Oh, you can't say that, Pastor. You're not God. No, but I'm one of His sons. Amen. I'm one of the sons. He will comfort us when we turn to Him in the midst of our problems. And He can bring an earthquake if He needs to set you free from something. Not to kill you, not to destroy you. He set His prisoners free. And going to read that story, Paul and Silas, they didn't run out of there like, hey, Jesus, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, we're free. No, they took salvation to the jailer.
Yeah.
The one that got them in jail, the one, he come running to them. Because he was going to kill himself, that jailer, because his prisoners were set free. From the Roman government, you might as well just, or the Roman army, you're as good as dead. But Paul heard from the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
Somebody's getting ready to commit suicide. God will speak to you. Call somebody. Stop. Don't kill yourself. We're all here. We haven't left. We're still alive. That made common sense to that jailer. Yeah, they're not. They're still here. I still got hope. God's still here. He's still alive. You got hope. Amen. And he says, sirs, what must we do? Paul got to preach the gospel again in jail.
Yeah.
Through an earthquake. He's not thinking about, oh Lord, it's an earthquake. He's thinking about Jesus. He's thinking about the Word. He's thinking about getting somebody born again.
Amen.
He wasn't thinking about himself. See, that's what it's all about. About Jesus. If we'll quit thinking about ourselves, there's our miracle. There's our healing. Because if we quit thinking about ourselves, we're out trying to help somebody else out.
Yeah.
And when we do that, there is the miracle working love and power of God that's going to manifest. Amen. Amen. Quickly, suddenly. God is sovereign in the sense that He is paramount and supreme. Amen. There is no one higher in authority or power than Jehovah. But that does not mean He exercises His power by controlling everything in our lives. That ain't what He does. God has given us the freedom to choose, the freedom to live our life any way that we choose. But He has laid a plan for us, and that plan was always from the beginning was good. The devil's the one that got in there and intercepted the blessing of God, brought in deception, and then worked the curse throughout this whole earth through us. And God still has a plan for us. He seeks to reveal that plan to us and urge us in the right direction. But we got to choose. We have to choose every day. Choose you this day,
yes.
Moses said. Whom you shall serve. What was that, Joshua?
Joshua,
choose whom you're going to serve. But he sounded just like Moses, wasn't he? He was the second in command under Moses. I want you all to act like me. Amen? Because Paul said, follow after me as I follow Christ. I'm following Jesus, and I want you to be acting like me, and I know you'll be acting like Jesus out there. Just do it. Amen? Just do what the Word says to do, and you'll have the results. But we got to choose. God doesn't make our choices for us. In many instances, number one, things not working in your life. Number one, it's the wrong choices that we bring disaster upon ourselves. Just go ahead and point. If you want to point anybody, judge yourself that you be not judged, the Bible says. Before you look anywhere out here, judgment starts at the house of God.
Yes.
See, I am the temple of the Holy Ghost. Judgment starts with me. Look at me. Things ain't working. Look at my life. Lord, and God's not, you got grace here, but I'm saying, what am I not doing that I'm allowing the devil to come in and get access into my life, into my body, into my family? Some things. See, Jesus is the door. He is the door. There's other doors that we need to shut and always keep His door open. That's the exit to the blessings. If you're in the curse, the exit is Jesus. Get into the blessing. Amen. Get out of that curse and get into the blessing. Number two, in other cases, problems are nothing but an attack from the devil. A lot of times it's just an attack. Number three, in some cases, it's just natural forces of an imperfect world, a world that's cursed. And that causes us pain. Look at all the things that's happening around us. Just think of things happening in your family right now. Just suffering that's going on. But never look to God as the problem. Get mad, look into the Word, release your faith in what the Word says. Now, you can't get somebody saved by your faith. You can't get them saved by your faith. Because, see, only God can forgive sins. But you can intercede against the devil that's trying to blind their eyes, that they be opened up to receive the Word. See, the only way you're going to get born again is you got to hear the Word of God. See, because it's an incorruptible seed of the Word of God that gets people born again.
Yeah.
God's Word. But you plant it. You sow it. You pray for a person. You're sowing seeds out there. You're interceding for that person. You're binding the power of the devil so that they can, for some reason, they'll change their mind and go to a camp meeting. And next thing you know, the Word's being preached and the Holy Spirit's ministering to their heart, and they open up and they get born again. And now they're saved. But a lot of people get saved and they get stuck in believing in this sovereignty of God that, well, now I'm saved, but I just got to hold on, sister. Hold on through all these trials. There's going to be a lot of, God's going to test you. He's going to see if you're worthy to be called a Christian. Now, persecution is going to come for the Word's sake, but thank God for the Word. Amen. It's coming for the persecution. It's coming for the Word's sake, but thanks God, thanks be to God for the Word.
Amen.
Now, I'm not in this world by my own. One third of me is wall-to-wall Holy Ghost, full of power and love. I just need to get that into the second part, operating in my soul. And the next thing I know, my body's, I woke up this morning, I'm only 50, and my ankle bones didn't feel strong. They were a little sore. But I didn't complain about it. I said, thank you, Lord. With long life, you're going to satisfy me. And I started walking. You know, just get up and walk on them. Felt a lot better. Amen. Just speak to you. Keep speaking to your body. Keep speaking to your body. It's got a voice too. It speaks to you loud. But you got a voice that's louder. Jehovah Jireh, he's my provider.
Amen.
Jehovah Shalom, he's my peace.
Amen.
Jehovah Sidkenu. Jehovah. Our tragedies are never the judgment or correction of God. Jesus came to give us the abundant life.
Yes.
The devil came to steal, kill, and destroy, as John 10:10. Don't ever get that confused. Don't ever get that confused. That the devil is the one stealing and Jesus is the one providing life. Don't ever get those two swapped, messed up. If it's good, it's from God. If it's bad, it's from the devil. This is a fundamental doctrine of Christianity that must be understood properly if you want to have victory in your life. You can decide not to believe the word, that part of the word, that chapter of the in the book, and you can suffer the consequences. There's many times I decided, I don't believe Mama. I don't believe she'll whoop me if I don't come home. And you know what? I suffered the consequences. Mama proved me wrong. Okay? God lets you have your choice, and he'll let the devil. What is he going to do? He can't lie. You decided to rebel against him, and the devil's out there just waiting for you for a chance. And whoop, you get beat up. God's like, well, he didn't listen. Didn't listen. All we got to do is listen, amen. Believing that God controls everything renders a person passive. Whatever will be, will be. Why pray and believe for something better? If you that theology is not going, your prayer life is going to be not a life. Your prayer life is going to be always complaining and bickering, and you're going to be a bitter person instead of a better person. Whatever God wants will come to pass if it's his will. That's some error out there. That simply is not true. Simply is not true. How does God correct us then? I'm asking to put 2 Timothy 3:16 on the screen. How does God correct us then? 2 Timothy 3:16. I want to put it on the board that way you can see it, because it's in your Bible too. All Scripture, Old Testament, New Testament, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, inspired of God, and is profitable for doctrine, that's for teaching what we're doing today, for reproof, and for correction. And if we'll do that, and it's for instruction in righteousness. How can I be corrected? God will correct me through his word. If I'm doing something wrong, the Holy Spirit will say, God loves you. That's not the right thing to do. Don't sit in the seat of the scornful. See, that's what the word says. If you're sitting there, you're disobeying God. Now you're out of the perfect will of God, and you're in the enemy's camp. Amen? And you're subject to get hit from the enemy, because he's going to take a shot at you. You get out there, he'll take a shot at you, right?
Yeah.
But if you stay and if you stay in the right place, which is in the secret place of the Most High, but you're there willingly to stay in God's perfect plan. But let's just say you get kidnapped. Well, then you're still in the will of God. Paul got shipwrecked. That wasn't his will. But it was the will of God, because God told him to go to Rome. But see, it wasn't his will that they go out in that storm. See, God didn't bring the storm, but Paul made it through the storm, because he was in the perfect will of God. And God protected him. Not only did he protect Paul, but he saved every man on that ship. How many lives is God going to save because of us? Amen. Because we're doing the right thing, even if we're in the wrong place unknowingly. We didn't know somebody full of the devil over here is going to take a Uzi and start shooting people, but we're there. And if we're there being in the will of God, we can prevent some things. Amen. We can say some things. We can speak some things.
Yes.
And we can change things. Amen. Because we're full of Holy Ghost and power. Jesus operated in all the gifts. Certain times he said things, he spoke the truth in love, and it made the people that were angry 10 times more angry. They wanted to choke him. They wanted to throw him off a cliff. They wanted to throw him off the cliff. Jesus just said, "See ya." Disappeared. Hey, he disappeared. They can't take him. Man, that was God's son speaking life, ministering life. The devil can't get you if you're under the shadow of the Almighty. He'll hide you if he has to. He'll make you totally just disappear. But you got to believe that, and you got to know that.
Yes.
You just can't, like, well, I think I'm going to believe what Pastor believes. No, you got to believe it regardless if I ever believe it.
Yes.
You got to have it for yourself.
Yes.
You got to know it. Amen? You got to believe it. That's how we can get some things done. Amen? Amen. Well, I finished all my notes. Hey. And added a few in there. I think we're done okay. I think we're done all right. A little bit later than what I usually try to hit, but I think I'm going to get a smaller clock. Wait. I'll get a smaller clock, and I'll have an excuse. I don't know. I got my Audi and boots back there. I don't think I'd ever. It really wouldn't matter, would they? Keep me straight, won't they? They got watches. Whew. Praise, thank you. Hey, I remember one time in the Bible, I was reading. God stopped the sun for Joshua. Was it Joshua?
Yeah, Joshua.
He stopped the whole sun from moving so he could finish a battle.
Yeah.
That's right.
He might stop some watches from ticking so I can finish my sermon one day. Everybody say, "Well, man, Pastor, it's been going about." Feels like it's been 30 minutes. My clock ain't went about 5. Preach on.